Om Shanti, everyone. Good morning. It's wonderful that all of you are here. And my name is Shireen. So, I've been with Baba for 29 years. And a few years back, maybe about 7 years ago, precisely about 7 years ago, Baba in a Sakar Murli said that it will take you 7 years to become soul conscious. 7 years to become soul conscious, right? And when he said that, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's a really long time. I've never heard that before, right? That seems to, I must have heard the Sakar Murli before, but I didn't hear that particular sentence before. And I started thinking about this, 7 years for soul consciousness. And you know how we tell people you can experience peace like this, you can experience love like this. And you can, if you do it with the right method, you can experience peace and love like that. But sustained soul consciousness, right? A few days back in the Murli, Baba was saying that if you're really soul conscious, you can walk from Abu Road to Mount Abu and you will not get tired, you will not feel tired. So that kind of soul consciousness, right? Where you're walking from Abu Road to Mount Abu and you're not feeling tired. So that kind of soul consciousness takes a long time. But whatever we do, the benefits we will feel are quite immediate. So if we want to experience love, we will experience love. If we want to experience peace, we will experience peace. But for 100% peace, right? For 100% peace. So we might experience 10% peace, 15% peace, but for 100% peace, it takes time. So for 100% soul consciousness, if we do it right, do it the way Baba, Sakar Baba did it, then 7 years. So anyway, I heard that in that Murli, 7 years, it's going to take you 7 years to be soul conscious. And then I started writing all of the different ways Baba asks us to be soul conscious. And I started writing and writing and writing and writing, and eventually it became a book, but we'll talk about the book later. We'll first talk about soul consciousness first. And I came up with about 54 exercises. 54 exercises that you can do to become soul conscious. So let's say this particular rod right here, I want to break this rod, right? If I want to break this rod and I try to break it with my hand, what's going to happen? It's going to be very hard. I'll hurt my hand and it's going to be very hard, but if I have the right tools, then I can break this rod. So it's the same way with soul consciousness. We need the right tools. And so the first tool that Baba gives us, which is a very, very important tool, which is a paradigm shifting tool, right? You really want to shift your paradigm, then you use that tool. And that is, you are a point of light. Just a point. And actually, that's the beginning and the end of it. You're a point of light, and how much you practice being a point of light, that's how much your experience will be. So, but how much of the time are we practicing being points of light? How much of the time? Not much. And so what happens is, initially, why? First, let's talk about why point of light. Why does Baba say you're a point of light? Because everything that you see with your eyes has a form, right? This has a form, the body has a form, the flowers have a form, that glass has a form, everything has a form. And because of form, we get into body consciousness. Because things have a form and we are attached to form, we are seeing form, we are doing all of those things, we get into body consciousness. And so to break body consciousness, you have to go beyond form. And the thing that you can represent the soul, right, without any dimension is this point of light. And so, one of the things we need to understand about the point of light, us as souls, as points of light, is that we are truth. We are truth. The soul, that point of light, is truth. What does it mean when we say we are truth? When we say we are truth, we mean that there is... What is truth? What is truth? It's not like, what's the best way to go from here to Pandav Bhavan, right? That's not what is truth. You could say, oh, get in a bus, get in a helicopter, get in a scooter, get in a car. That's not the truth we are talking about. We are talking about spiritual truths. In spiritual truths, so when do we say something is true? Something is spiritual. So something is spiritual, something is true. They are interchangeable. They're synonyms. And so when we say something is truth, or in this case, the soul is truth, when we say that, when we say that the soul is truth, what we are saying is that the soul is beyond time. So the soul is eternal. That means it existed forever. But ever is a really long time. So let's bring it down a little bit. So let's say a million years. A million years is also a very long time, but it's less than eternal. Eternal is a very, very long time, and a million years is less. And so the soul is, let's say a million years ago, I existed as a soul, I exist today as a soul, and I will exist a million years from now. That is one of the characteristics of truth. That is, truth means something that is eternal, that is beyond time. It is not bound by time. That is one characteristic. The other characteristic of truth, which we say the soul is truth or even God is truth, when we say soul is truth, that means it is applicable to all souls, to all human beings. All human beings are souls, right? It's not just, oh, it's applicable to a few people here and not there, or this continent and not that continent, or this country and not that country, or this set of people and not that set of people. No. When we say something is true, means it's applicable to everyone, everyone. And then the third concept, the third reason why we say something is true is it is not biased. There is no perception to it. If I'm looking at the soul, is the same as you looking at the soul, as you looking at the soul, as you looking at the soul, you looking, everyone looking at the soul, it's the same. The perception is the same. From all perception, the soul will always be the soul. Right? It's not like, oh, it's your truth and not my truth. Not like that. And finally, we say the soul is the truth, is because when we remember we are souls, especially when we remember we are points of light, incorporeal. Last night, Brother Charlie's class was so fabulous. And he was talking about incorporeal consciousness. The soul has to be in that incorporeal consciousness beyond the body as light. And when the soul is in that consciousness, in the beyond the body as a being of light, as a luminous being of light, and when I think about these things, when I think about the soul as beyond the body, as a luminous being of light, when I'm contemplating, when I'm meditating, when I'm doing all of these things, then we become divine, we become pure. That is the characteristic of truth. And one of the things people say is truth will set you free. You heard that? Truth will set you free? Anyway, they do say that. I think it's part of the Bible where they say truth will set you free. And so for truth to set you free, right, what truth will set me free? Traffic control. Om Shanti. So we were talking about truth. And so anything that has those four categories, right? Anything that is not bound by time, anything where you reflect on it, you become divine. Anything where, it's applicable to all human beings. So any any concept that is in that category, that is truth. So, for example, soul is truth, God is truth, drama is truth. So all of these are truth. And when you reflect on truth, when you reflect, when you think about these things, that is when you will be free. You know, Baba says, we have these original qualities of love and peace and purity and all of these. Well, these are the original qualities of the soul. But I feel one of the original qualities of the soul is freedom. It is absolutely right there with peace. Just like you want peace, can you think of anyone who doesn't want peace? Everyone wants peace. I mean, most people want peace. Right. I'm not talking about people who want war or who are doing terrorist activities, but most people want peace. And so everyone in the same way want freedom. Think about it. Everyone wants freedom. Because in every country, every tribe, every country, when someone does something bad, right, they go against the laws of the society, what is the first thing that gets taken away? Their freedom. They're put in jail. This is true for every society. Why is that? Because even more than peace, people want freedom. And so, we have to acknowledge, we all of us have to acknowledge that I, the soul, more than anything else, want freedom. I want freedom. We have certain laws, and we have, even within the Brahmin family, we have certain laws we have to follow because those will ultimately give you freedom. Because, one second. Because what happens is, let's say, I am studying, right? I'm going to college, or no, I'm going to school, and in middle school, I decide this is too much. Going to school, sitting in a class, being bound by all of these rules in the school, all of that is too much for me. In middle school, I decide to give up and say, I want freedom. I don't want to do all of this. I want freedom, and I go and go out, and then I start working, and I work somewhere in a menial job because that's the only job you'll get if you don't finish schooling. And so what happens? Even though temporarily it feels like I have freedom, it's not really freedom, is it? In the same way, in spirituality, there is real freedom. And the paradox of real freedom is you need to follow a set of guidelines. When you follow a set of guidelines, then you will be free. But if you don't follow those set of guidelines, and if everyone doesn't follow those set of guidelines, then you won't be free. That is the paradox of freedom. So for spiritual freedom, right, every soul, all of us, really, really want freedom. Because instinctively, intuitively, every society understands that, and that is why that's the first thing that gets taken away by the authorities, is your freedom is taken away. So it's very important to understand that I, the soul, want freedom. And to achieve freedom, to experience freedom, what is it that I have to do? And so, the first thing that we have to do to experience freedom is we have to understand the truth. What is spiritual truth? What is truth? What is not just physical truth, right? Not just is this true or is that true? No. It's spiritually, what is truth? We have to understand that, because truth will set us free. Truth will set us free. So we have these characteristics, like we've decided that truth means eternal, right? So when we come into the awareness of the soul as eternal, so there are three characteristics of the soul, right? So the first part of the soul is a luminous being of light. That's very, 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 very important to visualize and grasp. I am light. I am not a physical thing. I'm not a body. I'm just a being of light. That's very important. The second one, the three characteristics of the soul, is eternal, immortal, and imperishable. And all three are different. They're different concepts. Right? And we have to understand ourselves as these concepts. We have to experience ourselves as these concepts. For example, eternal. Eternal denotes time. When Baba says the soul is eternal, what he means is the soul comes into the eternal drama. Means the soul comes through time and time and time and time in the drama. And never ends. The drama never ends. The soul never ends. And the soul is eternal. That is time. It's timeless. Right? You can't say the age of the body. Right? You could say there is an age to the body. But you cannot say the soul has an age. The soul is eternal. So that's one concept. And the second concept is immortal. Immortal means that the soul is beyond birth and death. You cannot kill it. You cannot set it to fire, you cannot kill it, you cannot wet it, you cannot, you know, whatever the Gita says, right? You can't do all of those things with the soul. The soul is immortal. There is no birth to it and death to it. And the last one is the soul is imperishable. And when we say, when Baba tells us the soul is imperishable, means that the soul has an imperishable part recorded in it. So all of us have an imperishable part, all of us here, sitting here, have an imperishable part of 84 lives recorded in the soul. That is the difference. That's the difference between those three concepts. And we hear it, right? We hear it all the time in the Murli. Oh, you're eternal, you're mortal, you're imperishable. We hear it all the time. But the experience of it, even for a few moments, if we experience ourselves to be eternal, it is life-changing. We have to experience. So how do we experience? What is the most important thing for experience? Of course, Baba's knowledge is the most important thing. You need knowledge, right? You need knowledge to experience. But what is this, after that, what is the most important thing for experience? Concentration. Concentration is absolutely the most important thing for experience. If you don't concentrate, you cannot experience. And so, today it's all going to be about experience and concentration. So one of the things we need to understand about concentration is, remember I said in the beginning, if I want to break this, if I have the right tool, I can break it. If I try to break it with my hand, it's not going to be possible, I'd hurt my hand. So concentration is the same way. There are right tools for concentration. So one of the tools, there are several, but we'll go into just one of the tools today. One of the tools for concentration is you need to establish a few truths about yourself. And you have to loop those truths in your mind again and again and again without any external thought. that is concentration. So for example, let's talk about eternal, right? If you want, you can pick immortal or imperishable, whichever one you want. You can pick either one. But let's pick eternal. I am an eternal soul, right? So we need to have about four points. First is, I'm a soul. I'm not this body, I'm a soul. Second, I'm a being of light. I'm a being of light. And as a being of light, as a point of light, I'm situated right here. Third, I am eternal. That means that I am beyond time. The drama is eternal, and I, the soul, am eternal along with the drama. I am beyond time. I existed 1 million years ago, I will exist today, I will exist 1 million years from now. I am an eternal, weightless being of light. You want me to write that down? Yes. All of you with me? Because we are going to do this exercise now. So, again, what do we need for experience? Concentration. And what do you need for concentration? You need some knowledge. You need some base knowledge, right? And you have to keep, because your mind will wander, because the mind, that is what it does. It does, it wanders. So your mind keeps wandering, and you have to bring it back, and then you have to go through those. So you keep going through those. So let's say, we'll write this down. 1 second. I'll use this. So the first one is, I am a soul. Two, being of light. Three, eternal. No time. Four, weightless and light and eternal. All right. Thank you for understanding my horrible handwriting. But establish yourself in all of these, right? Establish yourself in these four. Just remember these four or write these four down. And then you keep going through them. So in this exercise, so we'll do this exercise now, where you, the first one, let's take a moment and just remember yourself as light. As a point of light in the center of the forehead, you're a soul. You're not the body, you're a soul. You're in here, the life force of the body, behind the ears, behind the eyes, in the center of the forehead. You're a pulsating star. And now, that pulsating star is beyond time. See yourselves going through the drama again and again and again. Very fast, right? 84 births, fast forward. Again, go back home. Again, 84 births, fast forward. Again, go back home. Again, 84 births, fast forward. So you're eternal, you're timeless. And now just stabilize yourself in being a weightless being of eternal consciousness. And so, for us to concentrate, when we are going through these 4 points, let's say we have an external thought. Let's say we are thinking, maybe I should go to the market after this. Right? Let's say I have a thought like that. Or what are we having for lunch? Or why did that person say this? Or I have to do that? Whatever it is, right? If, let's say, after number 2, you're having an external thought which is not related to this, then you go back to the first one and you do the whole thing again. Because there has to be consequences for you having external thoughts. That's how you increase concentration. If you just allow your mind to go wherever it goes and never bring it back and never have consequences for it, then you will never learn concentration. These consequences you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself these consequences. Because when you give yourself these consequences, then, and when you keep looping these things, right? You have to loop them. You finish, you go back. You finish, you go back. That's how you concentrate. And just remember, angels, if we don't concentrate, we don't experience. There is no experience without concentration. And we have to learn. It's a learned thought pattern. Concentration is a learned thought pattern. You learn it. It's no one is born with it. We all came with a monkey mind, right? No one is born with it. We have to learn it. We have to keep learning it. We have to keep doing this. Sounds good? So, and it might sound simple, right? Yeah, I'm an eternal soul. But the experience, every time I experienced I'm an eternal soul, I had profound shifts happening in the soul. Profound shifts. There was this one time, like I said, I live in Florida. And in Florida, we used to do a Florida retreat. Every year, Florida retreat. And we used to pick locate places to do the retreat, right? So because we used to pick locate places to do the retreat, we had to take even our own knives, right? Knives, pots, pans, everything, go there, cook, and all of that for everyone, 100 or so Brahmins, and then do the retreat. And so there was this one year, I was so tired because there was so much planning, so much of everything going on, and just so much stuff going on. I was so, so, so tired. And in this retreat, there was a stream. There was a stream, and I was sitting at the stream, just taking a few minute break, and I was telling Baba, I'm so tired, Baba. You know, I'm really tired. I'm sitting at the stream, and I'm talking to Baba, and suddenly I had this experience of eternity, that I'm an eternal soul. It was so profound and beautiful. There was so much comfort, feeling of comfort when I experienced eternity. I really am timeless. That is when the word timeless came to me. I'm like, there's no time to me. I am beyond time. I'm a timeless being. And there was so much comfort, so much security in that experience. And so these are just words sometimes, but we have to experience them, and to experience them we have to have concentration. It's very important to have concentration. Without concentration, no experience. So that's one. And then one of the things about about this, remember I said that I first did a, I first wrote, right, there were 7 years of, Baba said 7 years you'll be soul conscious, and so I wrote a lot of these exercises. And then I created a book, and here's the book. And I put about 54 exercises I wrote, and I put 50 of those exercises in this book on soul consciousness. But one of the things that always stood out to me was Baba's Gyan. Right? Baba's Gyan is very interesting because it gives you a world view. So, and then I realized what Baba was doing with Gyan. Gyan actually means world view. Worldview means how is your vision of the world? How are we viewing the world? So Baba gives us a brand new worldview. Because there are many kinds of worldviews, right? That people think, oh, there's just work and relationships and everything outside and everything, whatever, all of that, right? That's an external worldview where everything is outside. And then some people feel, yes, there is spiritual and there's this and that. And then some people are so absorbed with their own lives and on their own immediate family and all of those things. And that actually is also a very self-absorbed worldview. But Baba gives us a worldview where it's very radically different from everyone else. And it's very important to understand our worldview. And to be able to, so when Baba says buddhi, right, wisdom, intellect, when Baba says buddhi or wisdom or intellect, what's happening is there is worldview. Baba gives us a whole gyan of a worldview. And then he gives us a divine intellect, a divine buddhi, a divya buddhi. And the divya buddhi tells us how the different parts of the worldview fit together. You know, how does the very crucial distinctions, what is soul, what is matter, what is God, you know, what is drama, all of those things Baba tells us. And that Baba gives us a Divya Buddhi to understand all of those things. And so to understand the worldview is also soul consciousness. So soul consciousness is a really big umbrella topic. To experience eternity is soul conscious. To understand the worldview is soul conscious. All of it is soul conscious. But to especially understand how do I, the soul, fit in this whole drama, that is soul consciousness. And to be able to understand how I fit in this whole drama, I need to have, and also not get caught up in the drama, right? Because we get so caught up in the drama. So to not get caught up in the drama, to understand my place in the drama, we need to have transcendental experiences. And to have transcendental experiences, experiences that are spiritual, we need a handle on our thoughts. If we don't get a handle on our thoughts, right, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be a billionaire, you could be, I don't know, the president of India, the prime minister of India, you could be the president of the US, you could be prime minister of UK, or you could be a billionaire, you could be Elon Musk, you could have trillions of dollars, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a handle on thoughts, then you cannot have transcendental experiences. And so to understand thoughts, right? It's so important to understand thoughts. Because what happens is there is baseline. Let's call it baseline thoughts, right? This is baseline. And baseline thoughts, we will call it ordinary, right? These are ordinary thoughts. And below baseline, so one minus below, below baseline, we have waste thoughts. Okay? And then 2 minus, minus minus would be negative thoughts, right? So we have ordinary thoughts, that is thoughts which are everyday life, right? Like let's say if I have a thought of opening this marker or writing or coming here or driving, or all those are ordinary thoughts. But what happens is, oh, let's say I'm going to an interview. This is a good example. I'm going to an interview, all right? Preparing for the interview, getting ready for the interview, all of those would be ordinary thoughts. But let's say I start obsessing. I'm having a lot of waste thoughts. I don't know if I'll pass in the interview. I never do well in the interview. And you keep thinking about it. This is the mistake I made in that interview, that mistake I made in this interview, all of that. Where does that go? It's one below baseline and it is waste. Right? And then these waste thoughts, what happens? You keep obsessing and more and more and more. They become negative. Before long, they were just waste thoughts, and then you start thinking about, oh, you start getting angry and anxious and low self-respect, and all of those are happening because then that is too below baseline, right? Too below baseline, negative thoughts. So ordinary to waste to negative like this. If we don't have a handle on them. So the baseline and one above baseline is positive thoughts. One above baseline. But positive thoughts, remember, are our friend. They are not the treasure. They are not the ultimate. Because positive thoughts are, let's say, take this example of an interview. I can do well. I will do well. You have courage. You have done good. All of those things are positive thoughts. That is one above baseline. And then we have two above baseline, which is the ultimate treasure is eternal thoughts. Eternal thoughts are thoughts of eternal things that you cannot see. This is the treasure of things that you cannot see, thoughts that you have of things that you cannot see. So you want transcendental experience, whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it is any of the dadis, whether it is Bill Gates, whether it is Elon Musk, whether it is whoever, president, this, that, whoever, right? If they want to have transcendental experiences, they have to have eternal thoughts. Without eternal thoughts, you cannot have transcendental experiences. So the question you have to ask yourself is, during the day, how much of the time do you spend thinking about things that you see? The body, what you see, what you have to wear, what you have to cook, what you have to do. How much of the time do you spend in ordinary thoughts, which soon become waste and then negative? And how much of the time do you spend on things that you cannot see, on truth, right? Things that you cannot see, things that are eternal, on the soul, on God, on drama. How much of the time do we spend? Because positive thought is not our, it's our friend, definitely friend, but the ultimate treasure, ultimate gift that Baba gives us, the Divya Buddhi that Baba gives us, is we understand what eternal thoughts are. Because that is important to understand. You want freedom, you need to understand eternal thoughts. You want peace, eternal thoughts. You want purity, eternal thoughts. You want love, eternal thoughts. Without understanding and living and thinking and breathing and reflecting and contemplating and meditating and remembering and whatever else, yoga, all of that, without on this eternal thoughts, then we cannot have beautiful experiences. So we have to ask ourselves that question. how much of the time I'm doing this. Right? So, now next thing that we want to talk about here is in the soul, in soul consciousness, when we say soul consciousness, right? Soul consciousness means that I am having thoughts of the eternal original self. That is soul consciousness. Thoughts of the original eternal self. Not any of these things. Here, right here. Right? So one of the things that we need to understand about soul consciousness is Baba talks about mind, intellect, buddhi, man, buddhi, and sanskaras. So soul consciousness means we need to have a handle on the mind. Soul consciousness means we need to have a handle on the intellect, and soul consciousness means we need to have a handle on sanskaras. And so these are faculties, as I'm sure all of you know. I don't have to talk too much about this. So these are the faculties of the soul. Just like we have eyes to see, in the same way, these are organs of the soul. And Brahma Baba, every night, used to hold court to see what's happening with the mind, what's happening with the intellect, what's happening with the sanskaras. And to be able to hold court, I have to understand what they are. So the function of the mind is thoughts. The function of the mind is where thoughts arise, right? So mind actually powers. Its mind is powered by thoughts. So if we want to get a handle on the mind, then we have to have eternal thoughts. So in the book, I want to read you an exercise in the book. Remember I said there are 50 exercises in the book. And the exercises are divided. They are all 50 soul conscious exercises. And the exercises are divided in mind exercises, intellect exercises, sanskara exercises, and then the harmony of all of these three. And heart. Heart also is there. And so, what we'll do is I want to... Oh, and they're warm-ups, right? They're warm-up exercises too. And like one of the warm-up exercises is to give light to the body. Because we're always thinking of, oh, give sakash to this, give sakash to that one, give sakash to the world. But are we giving light and love to the body? So let's do that exercise first, and then we will do the mind exercise. Sounds good? I'll read from it. Okay, do you have any questions or any comments so far? Yes. Right. Yes, there is a three-step formula. And the three-step formula is the first step is practice, the second step is practice, and the third step is practice. There is no other method, really. The methods that Baba give us is the easiest methods. There's no other method. If there was, wouldn't Baba tell us, really? He's the ocean of love. Why wouldn't he tell us? Why would he want us to labor? And what does Baba keep saying? Practice, practice, practice. Okay, so any more questions? I'm so glad you're asking questions. Thank you. Thank you for being involved.
Om Shanti. My name is Michael Barton. Sister, thank you so much. Eternal thoughts, would they be the same as elevated thoughts?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Eternal thoughts, elevated thoughts. Baba says Shresht Sankalp, no? The ones which are... Thank you. So, yes. So the most in soul consciousness, right? The foundational eternal thought. The foundational eternal thought that if we get a handle on that and we remember that constantly all the time, someone in the middle of the night wakes you up. This is the first thing you need to think about. Is I am a soul and I have a body. That is the foundation of everything. I am a soul and I have a body. Because body consciousness, even last night, Brother Charlie was talking about how deep body consciousness is. It just takes you in all the time because that's the habit of 2,500 years. And to be able to break that habit, you have to keep doing these things again and again and again and again. Okay, I wrote these down. So would you believe it? A few days back, my computer died. So I tried very hard not to have waste thoughts. And I'm having to go to plan B, is write things down on a piece of paper. So I did write them down. So page 82. I'm going to read you this. Healing your body with light. So I want you to sit back, relax, and do the exercise. Healing your body with light. This warm-up exercise is designed to guide you to relaxation, healing, and self-love. As you follow the steps, you'll be imagining soothing light energy flowing through you, cleansing your body and the soul, and ultimately cultivating a profound sense of serenity and balance. Find a comfortable position and maintain a soft gaze with your eyes partially closed. It's better to keep your eyes open, but if you want to keep it closed, just partially closed. Don't completely close. Just partially like this. Close your eyes. Take deep breaths. And with each exhale, relax your body until you feel entirely at ease. So take a deep breath. And then just relax your body. Take another deep breath and release and relax. Another one, deep breath, release and relax. Visualize a soothing light starting from the top of your head and moving down to your feet. As it traverses, imagine it cleansing, healing, and bringing harmony to each part of your body it touches. There's a healing light going from the top of your head, coming into your face, and it's touching every organ, and it's just balancing and healing and easing and relaxing that organ. Now go into your shoulders, your lungs, your pancreas, your large intestine, small intestine, all of them, going into your legs, into your feet. And now extend this healing light into the earth, imagining it carrying away all negative energies from your body, leaving you feeling lighter and purified. So it's like gushing from top and cleansing everything, and it's taking stuff, impurities from your body and taking it into the earth. Just the earth is absorbing all of your negative energies from the body, and the earth is absorbing it. Take a deep breath, feeling a sense of wholeness and healing within yourself. Hold this feeling for as long as you can. Again, deep breaths in and out, and hold the feeling of wholeness, lightness, balance. And just see all of the negative energies going into the earth. In this state of self-awareness, visualize another light filled with pure love, cascading down your body from head to feet. Feel it easing any hurt and pain, and treat your body as sacred. Envision yourself becoming lighter, enveloped in a warm embrace of serenity and comfort. Om Shanti. So that's a warm-up exercise. And so, there are a few warm-up exercises in the book, and I always tell myself, when in doubt, do a warm-up, right? You're sitting somewhere, don't know what to do, do this warm-up exercise. See yourself as a soul, and as a soul is taking light from Baba, and just, it's going through the body, the earth is absorbing it, and Baba is filling the body with pure energy. All right, so we were talking about mind exercises, right? Remember we were saying the mind is powered by thoughts. And so for the mind to be healthy, when Baba says, check your mind, right? Remember Baba used to hold court and see what's going on with the mind? So what you have to do with the mind is you have to see how much diet of pure thoughts, elevated, pure, eternal, whatever you want to call them, the top level, that those thoughts, how much of those were you able to have during the day? How were you able to feed your mind? Because remember, whatever you feed your mind, that's how powerful the mind will become. If you're feeding your mind with things you see, something happened in the past, something that you're worried about the future, and what's going on right now physically, then you're not feeding your mind right. You have to feed your mind with the diet of eternal thoughts. So you can call them pure thoughts, elevated thoughts, eternal thoughts, raised thoughts, whatever you want to call them, right? The top level ones. You have to feed your mind constantly, constantly, constantly. Hence the murli, right? You take the murli, sakar murli, avyakt murli, doesn't matter. Sakar murli has actually a lot of pure, eternal, elevated thoughts. Even avyakt murlis do, but especially sakar murlis. And you just write them down, right? Like write 4 or 5 eternal thoughts from the murli. And during the day, you just keep looping that again and again and again and again. And you will notice after 2 weeks of doing something like that, how soul conscious you can become, how soon you can become, how much your mind is under your control just by that exercise. Your mind just instantly comes under your control after that. 2 weeks is not very long, actually, is it? Compared to 7 years, 2 weeks is not long. Okay, so now mind. Cradling the inner child, nurturing your mind with love. So Mama used to say this all the time, you have to treat your mind like a baby, right? Like a toddler, like a child, a little child that's under your care. You're firm, but you have a lot of love. It's the same way with the mind. The mind is going to wander, it's going to be a little mischievous. You have to be firm, but with a lot of love, you have to bring your mind under control. With a lot of love. So, if you don't have love for anyone else, doesn't matter. Actually, it does matter. Baba says to love everyone. But definitely love your mind, right? Definitely love your mind. It doesn't matter what you do, what you have to do. If you have to sit in yoga for 5 hours for the next few days, sit in yoga and learn to love your mind. Because that is very, very important. So, here is an exercise. The mind is like a toddler. Just as a toddler would, your mind needs you to pay attention to it, be available, and give it care. Because many times what we do with the mind is something happens, something comes up in the mind, right? Some emotion comes up, something comes up, and we just shove it under the carpet and we say, oh, it doesn't matter. And then we distract ourselves with the next thing. So don't distract yourself. If anything is coming up with your mind, pay attention to it. Be available. Don't just shove it under the carpet. Be very loving. You need to pay attention. Think of your mind as your child and it needs your attention right now. Lot of attention. Talk to your mind silently with love and encouragement, balanced with firmness. Right? What is balanced with firmness? So the mind wants to do whatever it wants to do, right? It says, no, no, I don't want to sit in meditation. I want to watch a YouTube video. Don't do that. Right? Be firm. So no YouTube videos, but be very loving. Yes, you can do this. Talk to your mind, say, you can do this. You know, I'm here. Let's do it together. Let's be sweet to each other. You're sweet to the mind and the mind is sweet to you. So don't be harsh with it by scolding it. Don't talk to yourself harshly. In this exercise, we will explore how to take care of our minds and give the mind nourishing food. Imagine yourself taking a walk outside on a still, clear, moonlit night. All of you with me so far? Okay, visualize yourself taking a walk outside on a still, clear, moonlit night. There is a gentle breeze flowing. Take a moment to breathe in that stillness and become as quiet as the night. Now look at the full moon and absorb the light of the moon. You've become the light. So now see yourself as a luminous eternal soul. You're just light, a being, a luminous being of light, an eternal soul. You are love, that is your original nature. Love for yourself is a deep memory embedded within you. Now ask yourself, do I feel any pain? Do I feel any anxiety? Now imagine that a toddler under your care felt the same things. How would you respond to the child? Access that deep place of love and talk to yourself. I am luminous, eternal light. This feeling is temporary. Eternally, I am a peaceful soul. I have Baba's love. Baba loves me deeply. All will be well. The drama is beneficial. Everything will be well. This situation will pass. I am light. There is so much more to me than this feeling. I am eternally love and light. If you do this exercise at least once daily, eventually you will get into the habit of doing it while doing your daily chores. It has to become a habit where then whatever you're doing, then you don't shove anything under the carpet. You just remember and then you start doing this exercise because it becomes a habit. Right? Don't deny that you have certain feelings. If you have them, you have them, you address them. That is loving the mind. Acha? Any questions so far? No questions? Okay. So, you know the book is titled Soul Fitness. So what I did with this book is the Baba's inspiration is that it's about soul consciousness, but it's in fitness language, right? Like mind would be sculpting mental muscles, right? How can you get mental muscles going, spiritual muscles going? And intellect is strength training the soul, strength training the soul. So when you physically strength train, no, you want to lift heavy things, right? And you want to build muscle and you want to build strength in your arms or wherever, they say you have to eat right and lift heavy. It's the same way with the intellect. You have to feed it, just like the mind. The intellect also needs a lot of gyan, right? Intellect needs a lot of gyan. So you have to feed the intellect a lot of gyan, and you have to lift heavy. Lift heavy means you have to keep doing exercises. You have to keep doing exercises. That is how the buddhi gets strengthened. You know the word buddhi is the same root as the word Buddha. Buddha and buddhi, the same. That means awakened, right? You're awakening something. So it's sleeping, it's there. We all have. That is why when Baba comes and he says, I give you the gift of a divine intellect. So what it means is we all have this divine intellect inside, and Baba comes and awakens it. He says, no, wake up. Hey, buddhi, wake up. Right? And buddhi is so important because it makes very crucial distinctions in life. What is soul? What is matter? What is God? What does God not do? What is drama? What is not? All of those very crucial, important distinctions the buddhi does. So we need to wake up the buddhi, because the buddhi is very important. Intellect is very, very important. And there, especially for the intellect, right? You need steps. First this step, and this step, and this step, and this step, and then you go back, and then again step one, step two, step three, like we did with the concentration exercise, step one, step two, step three, step four. Like that, you need steps. You need steps, and you have to keep repeating those steps, and that is when the buddhi awakens. If you don't repeat those steps, and if you don't do that, then the buddhi doesn't awaken. So should we do a buddhi exercise? 129. Okay. Thank you. Cultivating willpower. So there are many, many buddhi exercises in the book, but we'll do just this one. Cultivating willpower. Who doesn't want willpower? We all want willpower. You don't want willpower, really? We all want willpower. We all want willpower, right? Because Baba says, do this, 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 and then we don't have willpower, and then we don't do it, and then we feel bad. But we don't need to feel bad. Don't feel bad, right? Everything is a process, and everything is going according to time, and it will happen. We just need to find the right tools to apply at the right time. Feeling bad is not a good tool, so don't feel bad. Okay, taking courageous steps, cultivating willpower. Willpower tries to choose what is real and true. It acts well when it seizes the moment, when it is present in the now, and does something powerful in this very moment. Right? So effort, this is a secret about effort. When Baba says make effort, it's not about, oh, my next evening meditation will be good, my next Amrit Vela will be good. No. In this moment, what effort can I make? What can I do in this moment? That is effort. You cannot postpone effort. Effort is always in the moment. Because what happens if you say, oh, I'm going to make effort. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up at 2 in the morning and have great Amrit Vela. What's going to happen? This sanskara that I postponed, right? I said tomorrow morning, that's a postponing sanskara. The sanskara that I postponed, tomorrow 2 o'clock will come and say, oh, you don't need to do this. We can wake up at 4. It's okay. You had a late night anyway, and you have so much work to do during the day. All of that will come on, right? So effort is this moment. So if you want to activate your willpower, you have to activate making effort this moment. You must become very still and block out all the other voices in your head. Because Maya can be very deceiving. It'll come and tell you a million things why you shouldn't do something. To cultivate this deep stillness and steely determination, one must make sincere spiritual efforts. Waste thoughts create a brick wall that blocks our efforts. Waste thoughts. Here are some typical waste thoughts. I'll do it later. These things will never stop. Other people are fine without doing it. My health doesn't permit it. Right? Others aren't in my situation. That is why they can do it. With one determined thought, you can leap over this wall. What is that powerful thought? I must be the one who does this. Transform all the plans in your head, all the plans, future plans in your head too. I will do it, and I will do it now. So that mantra should be going on in your head. I will do it, and I will do it now. I'm a soul, and I'm doing it right now. Not next Amrit Vela. Right now. Don't listen to others. Don't look at others. Stay focused and jump over all your obstacles with this thought. If I take one step of courage, I will receive a thousandfold help from Baba. That is the basis of willpower. I take one step of courage. Let's start our steps. So these are the steps. The first step. So you have to loop these steps, remember. So in all of the buddhi exercises, all of the intellect exercises, they are in steps. Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. Again, step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. Focus your intellect on this thought. I am a luminous, pulsating, spiritual star. For this moment, there is only I, the soul. Block out all distractions by staying focused for a few seconds. Step 2, allow yourself to transcend the physical world. You are light. You feel light. You don't feel the burden or heaviness of matter or situations. I am light. I feel light. I am light. I feel light. You feel double light. I'm floating and rising, going higher and higher. I've come into a field of light. Imagine yourself in a spiritual realm of light, absolute beauty and power. Imagine yourself in the subtle regions. All your thoughts become reality here. From this spiritual field of light and in this moment, invite Baba's support and power. Absorb this power into yourself. Remember that you only, this is step four. Remember that you only have the present. Future and past do not exist here. In the subtle regions, no future, no past, only this present moment. There is only this moment. Use this moment wisely and say to yourself, I am the one who will do it. I will do it. I must do it. I will do it now. Just breathe in and out and just absorb Baba's power and just be here as a beautiful luminous light absorbing Baba's willpower. Shanti. Om Shanti. Do you know what muscle memory is? Yes, muscle memory. So muscle memory is, let's say I learned to ride a bike when I was 5 years old, right? And there's a physiological blueprint on the body, right? How to ride the bike, how to balance, all of that. You learn as a five-year-old. And then the soul also remembers. There's a blueprint in the body. The soul remembers how to balance, how to keep going, and how to land, and how to not fall off, and all of that, right? You learn to ride a bike. So let's say 50 years you don't ride a bike. And then at age 55, you get on the bike. What happens? You know how to ride the bike. Initially, it might be a little problem here and there, but soon you'll get the hang of it and you'll be able to ride the bike. It's called muscle memory, right? That's how athletes use that a lot, muscle memory. They just remember these things, right? They keep doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, and then at one point they'll just automatically remember. So, sanskaras are very important because they teach us. Sanskaras are really spiritual muscle memory. So there's memory inside, right? In sanskaras, we have three kinds of sanskaras. We have good sanskaras, we have negative sanskaras, and we have ordinary sanskaras. So elevated sanskaras are like love and peace and all of those sanskaras which give you happiness, right? Love, peace, freedom, purity, bliss, all of those give you power. Those give you happiness. And those are elevated sanskaras. Ordinary sanskaras are how to ride a bike, how to brush your teeth, all of that. Those are ordinary sanskaras. And then you have negative sanskaras. Negative thought patterns, right? Self-sabotaging thought patterns, anger, greed, ego, all of those are negative sanskaras. So all of them actually are muscle, are spiritual muscle memories. There's a memory. There's a memory of anger. There's a memory of love. There's a memory. All of that, there is a memory inside. So the good news is not, of course, the memory of anger, because that's going on right now, or the memory of a self-sabotaging pattern, right? Like, let's say I always sabotage myself. Just when the right time comes, I do something just where it's just self, I sabotage myself. And so it's very important to understand that deep inside you, there is a memory of love. Deep inside, especially memory of Baba's love for you, is embedded in the soul, deep inside. And that memory of Baba's love for you, your love for Baba, that memory needs to come out. And for that memory, because if you activate that memory, can you imagine how different our life would be? All the time, we are just aware of Baba's love for me, for us. Do you need anything else? No. We do a lot of foolish things in life because of love, right? It's not a small thing. Love is not a small thing. And to know that I am that soul, I am that soul that has the Baba's love, God's love is embedded in the soul. It's merged in the soul. Baba said that in Murlis. Baba's love is merged in your souls. It means it's embedded in your souls and it's embedded in us. And so I have to activate it. And activating is when we do these soul conscious exercises, right? The other day, Baba was giving us an exercise, beautiful exercise, yesterday or day before. He said, I want you to remember you're a soul and I want you to go back home. Remember, you have to go back home. Remember, your cycle of 84 births is over and go back home. That's a beautiful soul conscious exercise. Remember, you're a soul. You're going with Baba, going back home. Cycle of 84 births is over. You keep doing that exercise, right? Soul, 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 soul. Point of light, point of light, point of light. Luminous being of light. All of these deep memories that are embedded get activated. It might be a simple exercise, but these deep seated memories get activated when you do it. Just like many of you are parents, right? Many of your parents here. So when you had your first child, before the child came, did you know how to be a parent? Or did the child come with the, you know, instruction manual? No. You just automatically knew how to do this. Why? Because you became a parent. There was something activated in you. It's the same way with soul consciousness. Once you practice being a soul, all of these memories get activated. That is spiritual muscle memory. That is the secret of sanskaras. All these sanskaras are inside and we just need to activate them. That's the secret. So should we do an exercise? Yes? 165. Any questions? Huh? Someone said something? No, no one said anything. That's all right. cultivating self-love. Self-love can be learned. Self-love can be learned. It is a thought habit. The first step and the last step of self-love is having deep regard for the self. You should see yourself with a vision of profound respect and care. This happens when you become aware of your true identity as a divine spiritual being. Gently but firmly, let go of identifying yourself as just a mundane physical being. The role you're playing, your profession, whatever. Just let it go. Go inside yourself and sense the soul that animates your body. Touch yourself, the soul, with your thoughts. Remember, I am a soul. My original nature is love, peace, and divinity. My original nature is love, peace, and divinity. Have regard for who you truly are. Talk to yourself as you would do to a favorite child. Visualize a beautiful, innocent, precious child in front of you. What would you say to this child? Now say those same things to yourself. I am precious. I am precious because of who I am, not because of what I possess or what I can provide externally. I am innocent, I am sweet and lovely like a beautiful, fragrant flower. Allow rays of care and peace to cascade all over the soul. Remember your true nature. Tell yourself, I care about myself. I truly care about my original self, the real self. I am a deeply beautiful being beyond this material body. Keep seeing yourself with respect and care and notice how precious you truly are. Keep pouring thoughts filled with respect and love into your heart. When you do, you will experience them entering your heart. And just keep seeing yourself. As the one Baba loves. You are loving, you're lovable, and Baba loves you. Om Shanti. I have one last exercise, but before that, do you have any questions, any comments, you want to share anything? Okay. You can ask in front of everyone, really, because then it might benefit other people.
Om Shanti, sister. I'm actually seeking help, and I'm talking to another sister to guide. I've been a very successful, goal-oriented youngster. Always done very well academically. Couldn't be a sports person because I had my physical challenges, and I have a deep. Embedded trauma that I couldn't fulfill the dream of my father because he was a very successful athlete and an army officer. Then on, I had a journey of going into a boarding school where all my fellow students were very athletically inclined because I studied in an international school and the West is always very sporting. I was always the youngest in my class. Double promotion twice at my academic career, so always there was an age gap. So what came by was when I was finishing school, there was a 3 to 4 years age gap, and I couldn't cope up. I felt burnt out, and I took a pause in my academics. I completed my academics, again with distinction, and then I got tired. So I just finished it. My graduation, but I didn't want to excel, though my ambition was to do my MBA, do everything else. I started my career and I did well, but what I had to do was, if you were well educated and you had the foundation in management, I had to do twice as much because I had to learn faster or do more efforts. In the course of that professional journey, I always lacked that confidence to be the leader. So I was always the second in command. I was the best second in command you could ever get, the vice captain of a team, but never the captain. Then I again got opportunities to do even more because I was good, but I lacked that confidence and I couldn't push myself. And I then started dropping. When I started dropping, I came to a situation I didn't feel not only not confident, but couldn't do things. And then I started getting ailments, which have stayed with me in the past 3 years. And when I go to medical help, they all say that you're medically fine, but there's a deep embedded trauma that you need to heal. That's why when I was asking those questions, that it's always the negative thoughts that is there, that when will I come out of it? And I always seek an external help, and now I want to stop doing that. I want to do it myself. I want to self-heal. So I'm in that situation that I want to pivot, and I'm searching for that solution.
You know, some of these things, right, we have to understand the drama. We have to accept the drama. And when you look at the past, Mama used to say this a lot, is you accept the drama. When you look at the future, then you say karma, right? You do good karma. But you look at your past and just look at it as a script that was written, and it was wonderful, it was beneficial. And going forward, Baba is going to give you everything you need and more. And you just have to have that willpower, just practice being a soul, practice remembering Baba, practice the drama. Just keep doing that and you will excel. But when you're looking at the past, don't go into the past. Just think of it as a drama that happened, a script that was written. No one could have prevented that script, least of all you. It was a script that was written, and that was it. Traffic control.
सतयुग में तुमको आना है शिव पिता को अब याद करो
And Om Shanti, beautiful souls. Thank you for addressing the importance of now. And it's really, really very important how to make use of now. And it reminded me of an incident or a situation. Sorry, my name is Santosh. I'm from New Zealand. Professionally, I'm a nurse. So I was looking after a patient, my own patient, and this nurse comes to me and she says, "Oh, I don't know why that patient is crying continuously." I looked at the history of the patient. I said, "Better go and see the patient," being a senior nurse. I went to see the patient and held her hand. I said, "What's bothering you?" "I had really very bad childhood." Okay. Then this point of no came into my mind. So I told her, "Look, that was your childhood. Now you're 82 years old. We need to make use of our present, our now. So try to make use of your now. Anything I can do for you, I can bring tea or coffee for you, but please be happy." And she held my hand tightly, so I bring in my tears. And then she goes, "Why nobody could tell me this thing before? I have been so upset and crying for the last so many years." I said, "Our past is gone and future is not in our control. So please make use of now." She was very happy after that. Following day, I got a phone call from our clinical director. And I was surprised, what happened? He said, "If you don't mind, coming for about an hour to work, please." I said, "I don't know what happened." So I said, "Okay, I'll come." I went over there. And our clinical director takes me into the patient's room, the lady I talked to yesterday. And she's taking her last breath. So I held her hand. She opened her eyes. I said, "You're back." I said, "Yes, I'm back." Family haven't met me before. Family looked at me. After 23 minutes, soul left the body. And children, they started hugging me. They said, "This is the first time since mom was diagnosed with cancer, within last 8 months, we saw her happy. And she enjoyed us. She enjoyed our company." So with my experience, that just makes me to think about making use of our now. We are over here, even we doze off, that's okay. But still try to make use of our now, which is very, very important. Otherwise, we all will go back to our countries and we'll say, "Oh, we were in Madhuvan. But I did not go for the session. I did not join that session." But then it's too late. Thank you.
Shanti. I have one question. It's bothering me for last 1 month. So when I'm meditating and trying to connect with Supreme Soul, I imagine myself. So I heard that if I can see myself, it means it's not real me because someone can see me, myself. Yeah. And the same is coming with the soul. So if I can see a point of light, it means it's not me. Can you please explain? Because for last month I can't, like I'm every time rounding that thought and I can understand it's real me or there's something else, it's me. Thank you.
When Baba gives us a visual image, right? So in the beginning, it used to be thumb-shaped, because I was asking Mohini Didi this question. When she came into Gyan, what was the soul? So they were always told the soul was thumb-shaped, right? Much later on, Baba said the soul is a point of light. And Baba says, you can't ask why you said thumb-shaped initially and not later said point of light, whatever it is. Whatever it is, one thing we need to understand is that we are non-physical beings. And that non-physical being is denoted as a being of light. So we have to establish ourselves as non-physical beings, not as a physical being, not the role I'm playing, not the part I'm playing, not what is going on, but as a non-physical being of light. So first establish yourself as a non-physical being and then see yourself as a point of light. So first, just go in progression, right? First, it has to be very clear in your head, I'm not a body, I'm a soul. And that soul looks like that. And does the soul look like a point of light? It's a It is a spiritual, it's a spiritual thing. Soul is a spiritual thing. Spiritual things don't have looks, right? We denote it that way because it's easy for us. Because then we go beyond the consciousness of the body. So the important thing is to go beyond the consciousness of the body. Don't worry about whether you're able to do it as a point of light, not light. Does that answer your question? Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Spanish?
I don't know any Spanish, so someone has to translate.
No. No. Sí. Sí. But, ¿hablo? ¿Hablo y tú la traduces?
No puede.
Quiero hablar, hacer una pregunta. Bueno, mi pregunta es, yo he estado aquí en el camino de la espiritualidad, he estado en camino de la espiritualidad durante 10 años, pero hace 3 años atrás pues lo he tomado ya prácticamente al 100%. Tengo mi familia y bueno, mi hija estaba en esta meditación, pero por motivo como joven se hizo de un novio y prácticamente abandonado su vida espiritual, pues y no sé en qué sentido yo la puedo incentivar para que vuelva, aunque esté con su pareja, vuelva a retomar la vida espiritual, el conocimiento. ¿Ya?
Somehow we are going to get a translation of this.
No, I didn't. Would you repeat, please?
Que antes estaba conmigo en el mundo espiritual mi hija y que mi hija.
¿Tu hija murió?
No, no, no. Pero mi hija tenía un novio y al estar en su espiritual y quería saber
espiritual
como mí.
My daughter is in the spiritual world, like. She believes like I believe in the spiritual world. And my daughter met someone and she left the spiritual journey. And now she would like to be part of the spiritual journey again, but she doesn't know how to do it.
That's the question?
Yes, the question is that she would like to be able to tell her daughter how to do it again.
It's the center. Take help from the center. Can you take help from the center?
She said that her daughter's gone for 3 years today. So what's the problem? She doesn't go to the center anymore. She's absolutely detached herself from the spiritual journey.
No, but you can take her to the center. She doesn't want to do that. Okay, forget about the center. So take the Murli and take basic things from the Murli and every day explain to her one or two things from the Murli. Or read some portion of the Murli to her.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I was going to do one more exercise, but we don't have time for that. We only have till 12:15. I don't want to go over time. But this book, if you want, is available in the Global Office, and it's also available back there. So anywhere you want to get, you can get it. It's available in the Global Office, and it has 50 exercises on soul consciousness. And we will have one last meditation where I want you to focus and concentrate. Sounds good? All right. So out of everything that you have heard today, this morning, I want you to pick 3 or 4 points and just stabilize yourself in those 4 points. Just first identify the 4 points. For example, mine is, I am a beautiful, luminous being of light. Baba's love is embedded in I, the soul. I deeply love and respect myself. I'm a weightless, eternal being of light. So you can pick any 4 you want. And just keep thinking about them, reflecting on them, meditating on them, very slowly experiencing them, one after the other, after the other. Om Shanti. Om Shanti, everyone.